The following audio is from the King's Chapel. You can find out more about our church at thekingschapel.org.
As we have been attending here, we've felt so loved and encouraged, part of the family of the body of Christ, but also particularly here at the King's Chapel. So it is a joy for me to have the opportunity to hopefully encourage you this morning. You know, once you become family, you can pretty much say anything you want, amen? You all over here know what I'm talking about. You started laughing first. So it doesn't mean that you want to hurt feelings. You just get a chance to be kind of loose. But I want to use this word, the word of God this morning, as it should always be, to encourage you. If you looked at your bulletin, you'll probably see that the title of the message is The Saga of a Superficial Disciple. Now, you want to try to somehow attach love to that. And it's coming. I promise you, it's coming. And one of the things that I've recognized, because I'm somewhat itinerant, if you will, as a missionary, and I go to a lot of different places in the body of Christ, and I preach and encourage and strengthen. That's my passion. And I have recognized that either we have a ton of darkness in this land, or we have a ton of light. And when I go and see and experience stuff, I see a lot of darkness, even within the church itself. And not being the brightest bulb on the tree, I came to this conclusion. See if you arrive there with me. I think that there may be a lack of true disciples. You think that might be what it is? Because I believe this. I believe if God has cranked out a true disciple, that light is going to burn brightly. Yeah, because a true disciple will stay in his word. Jesus earmarks that disciple in John 8, 31 and 32. He says, if you continue in my words, then truly you are my disciples. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And one other thing about disciples, true disciples, they have the liberty of the Holy Spirit to love. Because we have that charge from God to love one another. We even have that charge from God to love those that hate you. And certainly darkness and the world system hates us. And so I thought I might come this morning and try to strike a match to that light that may be existing. There may be some of you here have no idea who Jesus Christ is. And I want to just start from the onset here and let you know that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, died on the cross, became sin, died on the cross, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. God raised him from the dead. And if we believe that and receive that, then we are his disciples. So what is the superficial work of a disciple that may not be burning at all, that may not be following at all? Now, one of the things I am wanting to caution you all about, it is almost, and I don't mean on an automatic response, but it is almost better to say amen than to get extremely quiet. Because they both say the same thing. Okay, if you get too quiet in here, I know I'm pretty close to your tulip patch, okay? And so that's an encouragement. I'm not trampling stuff. I want to encourage you there. And so if you have your Bibles with you this morning, John chapter 6, I want to speak to you briefly on the saga, the never-ending story of a superficial disciple. In John chapter 6, a little backdrop to this, we find Jesus is doing a lot of things in John 6. He's fed a bunch of folks who tended to follow him because he was feeding them, and he was doing healings and curing people of diseases, and that's what he does. That's his nature, so that's what he's going to do. But it was never a fact that escaped him that there were many who were following him because of the stuff he was doing. But you see, he's always in pursuit of an intimacy, an intimate relationship. And you know what I've also discovered? It's hard to be intimate because it requires us to be transparent. Transparency is so tough for us. Now, I'm not talking about you got to, you know, just throw out the whole wardrobe here, but I'm just saying, to be transparent is an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus is basically in his message, as he is proclaiming the kingdom of God that is coming, he is pounding this message in. Hey, the kingdom of God is different than what you know. The kingdom of God is different than what you know. And so he was sharing truths of the kingdom of God by way of parables that people had to receive or reject. And basically, they rejected them based on their level of understanding of who God was. Some of you will sit in here right now. Some of you have an opinion of God. You have a picture of God. You have a thought about God. But do you have an intimate relationship with God? And the only way that can come is via Jesus Christ. And that's the message that he was communicating. And so one of the last messages that he shared with them, just before we go into this morning's text, was he says, hey, if you want life, you've got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. There's a message for the Jews. There's a message for the church. And you know what they said? The same thing you're saying. What's Jesus talking about? Yeah. Have you realized that whenever you get to the red in the Gospels, Jesus is always talking about the spiritual kingdom of God. But yet mankind in his basic existence is always thinking what? Naturally. We want to receive God naturally. And if we can't figure him out, we'll come up with some stuff to help us do that, i.e. religion, i.e. denominations, i.e. our own personal gospel. How many of you all know that sometimes you can have your own personal gospel? Okay, just a few people. Okay, all right, yeah. I submit to you there far more than that. But anyway, what was that old Burger King slogan? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Have it your way. And sometimes that transcends. So here we are. We pick up the story in John chapter 6. And Jesus is speaking, if you will. And I want to start in verse 59. These things he said, and I'm reading from the New American Standard. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? But Jesus, conscious that his disciples grumbled at this, said to them, does this cause you to stumble? What then if you see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. Please underline the word spirit and life in your Bibles if you're not too legalistically religious. It's okay to write in your Bible. How many of you all know that? Just don't add no stuff to it is all, but I mean, you can. Okay, it's good. Verse 64. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who it was that would betray him. And he was saying, for this reason I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted him from the Father. Verse 66. As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew, and were not walking with him, walking anymore. So Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away also? Let me rephrase that. Do you not want to go away also, do you? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life. We have believed and come to know that you are the Holy One of God. I'm going to throw 70 and 71 in as a little addendum here, even though it's not recorded there, but I am going to speak in that little arena briefly. Jesus answered them, did I myself not choose you, the 12? And yet one of you is a devil. Not your typical seeker-sensitive, friendly kind of comment to a massive crowd. One of you is a devil. It's written here. I'm just reading what's written here. Now he meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, underline one of the 12, was going to betray him. Father, we thank you for your word, and we ask now, Lord, as our hearts and ears are open, solidify, encourage our spirits, strengthen us, Lord. Father, dislodge us from that place that we've become comfortable and hard-hearted and immovable. Let your truth penetrate our hearts, Lord, to the level of transformation. And we thank you and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So, as a disciple, and I want to just contrast two groups because this text, this passage here, does this contrasting of two groups that exist here. It is very easy to hear about some great things that are going on in the lives of other believers, and you get pretty excited. We all get pretty excited about them, but how many would be truthful with yourself, but geez, that kind of stuff never happens to me. Oh, I never see that kind of stuff happening, or why isn't that taking, or something like that taking place in my own life? I think I need to remind you all that there was a time that there was a lot of blindness in these eyes in terms of living life, to have life, or what I thought was life. When I read the verse John 10:10, Jesus says, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly, I realized I must not have had life. And so whatever that stuff I was doing while I was trying to get on the better side of a fifth of alcohol, or whether I was shoving cocaine up my nose at a breakneck speed, or whether I was rolling those big fat blunts. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Not in here, but I mean, do you know some people that might know what I'm talking about? Yeah, and somehow I thought that was, quote, life. And so I did it, not proud of it, I did it with a depraved mind. How many of you know you don't have to drink and do drugs to have a depraved mind? They are just the symptoms of a depraved mind. Yeah, amen. Some of you all have other stories, but you're not preaching this morning. But anyway, at some point in time, the light had to come on. That light came on through the person of Jesus Christ. And it didn't come on because I was constantly going to church, because we weren't even going to church at the time when I first got saved, until I heard Hebrews 10 says, hey, you are not to forsake assembling together with other believers. You got to have them. You've got to have them. Turn to your neighbor and say, I've got to have you. Believers need believers. My God, you know how I invest here at the King's Chapel? I don't want the King's Chapel to just be another church on the corner that people can come to for an hour on Sunday morning. Because if we're doing our business here right, the community ought to either be praising us or cussing us out, one or the other. Can I say cussing? Okay, yeah. We ought to be somewhere in that continuum where they are. They know we exist here. We can't be that building beside the mosque. Not if we have light. And so, Jesus says, as he's always trying to say, there are two distinct groups here. It is my desire at the end of this message that somehow you locate yourself in this brief photo album of what a disciple is. What would be the behavior of a disciple? And I think Jesus helps us see this. Let's look at John 6. And we'll start right there in verse 60, if you don't mind. He says, excuse me. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? But Jesus, conscious that his disciples grumbled at this, said to them, does this cause you to stumble? Now, I think something that's interesting to watch here is in that verse 60, if you see, therefore, many of his what? Underline that word, disciple. But don't miss the adjective that describes whose disciples they were. His. Right? So Jesus is having this conversation with some of his disciples, and they have just said, boy, that's a hard thing to digest. And so he goes on to say, it is the Spirit that gives life. The Spirit, the word that I speak is Spirit, and life to you. And so When we come to God as a true believer, and you need to hear this, because as I said, at the end of the day, we need to separate and distinguish, are we a disciple or are we a true disciple? How many of you know when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you come on his terms alone? Now, be careful how you raise your hand. How many of you know when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're buying his total kingdom package? That you don't get to add to it how you would like to come. And I know that's a difficult pill to swallow because we can get so rigid in our ways before Christ, we can even be more rigid in our ways after Christ. But nonetheless, we're always trying to alter how we want to do this thing in Jesus. And he has not left that up to chance. He's not left it up to chance. He's told us exactly how you can have this intimate relationship with him. And so as we go on, we look in verse 65, as God has said, it's on his own terms. For this reason, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted him from the Father. So you hear the gospel. That's what you're supposed to do. God grants you faith to believe the gospel. If you believe the Lord Jesus Christ genuinely, then guess what? You become a child of God. It's that simple. Don't want to make this harder than what it is. Let's look over real quickly at John chapter 2. Got to turn real quick, though, because I'm limited in time. John chapter 2. And also, yeah, you can do it digitally. But my God, I love to hear the sound of turning pages in a sanctuary. That's just me. Ah, look at my millennials looking at me with those scissor eyes. No, I'm just saying. Yeah. Did I tell you John chapter 2? And look at verse 24. Are you there? Listen, here we go. But Jesus, on his part, I'll throw 23 in just to kickstart us. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name. 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 Normally, when we see that phrase, believed in his name, we would say that they would be true disciples because you're believing in the name of Jesus. But look how this text qualifies that they weren't true believers. Many believed in his name, observing his signs. Which he was doing. So they pursued him because of the signs. They got caught up by the miracles. Listen, miracles are for unbelievers. We as believers, we don't need miracles. In a lot of sense, we just need to be obedient. If we just obey, a miracle pop right up. Oh, I love the way you laughed at that because you heard what I was saying. Yeah, we said, Lord, give us a miracle. Well, you don't need a miracle. Can you just obey my word? And a miracle will surface. So anyway, they were following because of his signs. But look, what was Jesus' response? But Jesus, on his part, was not entrusting himself to them. What's this? Jesus didn't entrust himself to them? No. Why? For he knew all men. And because he did not need anyone to testify concerning man, for he himself knew what was in man. Turn to your neighbor and say, God knows what's in my heart right this moment. And I don't particularly like you. No, don't say that. Don't say that. Unless you're moved by the Spirit of God. No, don't say that. But anyway. Having him on his terms means that he already knows what's in our heart. He knows whether we are meaning it when we say, yes, Lord, I want you. He knows when we're joking and when we're serious. He knows those of us sitting here who have said we've said that, but we really haven't meant it in our heart. So we've just gotten that superficial relationship that comes with going to church, comes with being around other Christians, but being just dismal in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ because we never have made that earnest, honest surrender. And so, Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born again. John 3:3. And that born-again experience takes place on the inside. We have a fleshly man that has his own desires and the things he wants. How many of you know that your flesh can be out of control sometimes? Yeah, well, the enemy knows that as well. And he knows exactly the sensual menu to offer you. Whether your particular appetite is alcohol or drugs or promiscuity, adultery, whatever it is, he knows how to bring the menu out. But we're the one that actually orders the food. And so we must be born again. That new nature takes with it, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a, yes, new creation, new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things have become new. So you must be born again. Excuse me. Jesus says, some of you do not believe. They had seen the miracles. They'd heard the gospel. They'd heard the truths of the kingdom of God. And all Jesus asks you to do is not understand it. He asks you to believe. Now, there's a distinct difference, and we'll see in just a minute, who's believing and who's not. What does that process look like? So he's talking to unbelievers in this segment, and we will see in verse 66, as a result of this, the things he had just said, and some of us will be the same way. Now, we who are believers will hear some things sometimes, and we don't want to follow them either, like, you need to forgive your wife. I told you, don't get quiet now. I just used that hypothetically. I don't even know of a case. But I'm saying, some of you need to forgive your husband when the Spirit of God says, forgive your husband. And under your breath, you say, that clown? No. But no. He didn't ask you to understand it. He said, obey it. Believe, obey. Those two things are inseparable, whatever that is. But believing comes with obedience. John 14:21. Jesus says, he who has my word and obeys, he is the one that loves me. That's the one that loves me. And so Jesus has given them this heart saying, and then look at that verse, if you will, verse 66. As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew. Here's a little process here. And we're not walking with him anymore. We start at the beginning of withdrawing. Some of us can sit right in here Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, but we're already withdrawing. We're already withdrawing. In fact, sometimes it's painful for us to even come to church. But you know you got to go because people expect it. Or it's in your DNA to come to church on Sunday. It's not in your DNA to live for Christ, but it's in your DNA to come to church on Sunday. Somebody say amen. Y'all getting too quiet. Yeah. Well, let me just, this is the amen section over here. Yeah. So they withdrew. They stopped walking with him. They stopped walking with him altogether. A true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ is never going to do those things. If you withdraw as a true disciple, it'll only be for a season. If you don't walk, it'll only be for a season. But you'll never encounter the anymore. If you're a true believer and you don't walk with him anymore, I would submit to you, you were never a believer to begin with. And 1 John 2:19 tells us that. John says, hey, they went out from among us, and that's how we knew. They weren't of us to begin with. Oh, I'm preaching good now. Somebody say amen. Don't make me keep telling you say amen. So that crowd were the unbelievers because they followed him no more. They had no root in Christ. They were there for the superficial encounters of all of the stuff that was going on around it. You let a blind pair of eyes get open in King's Chapel today or tomorrow or whatever, any day, I mean, physically let that happen because of a miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ, that will be parking for about 3 miles around here next Sunday. You let a person here get healed of the coronavirus right here in the sanctuary at the altar, verified by some of the greatest minds in the country. Not that you need to validate when God does a thing. You don't need to. Look at you. You were depraved at one time, and now you're sitting here rejoicing about the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's validation enough for me. Brother, that's an amen, right? That's an amen. You got to give me a fist bump. Yeah, that's an amen. Hey, we teach it all here. We teach the amens and the fist bump. If you stop following him, if you withdraw, if you don't walk with him anymore, you were never there to begin with. Get to know who Jesus Christ is. Now, what I like is that second group. I love the first group because that gives us opportunity. But look at the second group. We'll find that in 67 and 69. So Jesus said to the 12, he turns to that group that typically is around him. You do not want to leave me also, do you? Because this is a group. Now, you've got to understand, in verse 66, they said they were his disciples. It says they were his disciples. So they were disciples who were following him that didn't know him. They got some of those people right in here right now. They were his disciples. A disciple, Mathetes, I think it's the way it's pronounced in the Greek, just means disciple. And what that means is you can be a disciple of anybody. Name somebody. You can be a disciple of that person, okay? Because it just means following with the expressed intention of duplicating what you taught. Yeah, that's all it meant. That's all that word means. A disciple is one who takes the teachings of Christ with the expressed intention to live them out. And if the fire of the Word of God gets in you, you can't help but live it out anyway. I'm going to say this to this crowd over here, because this crowd over here tends to have darker colored hair than this crowd over here. And this is just my observation. Don't anybody get all upset and get all wrapped around and ask about what color your hair is. I don't even have it. So what I'm saying, there needs to be this natural connection going on from both sides. Because when I see the wisdom that sits in this room because there has been some walking that has gone on with the Lord, you can kind of get an idea who they might be, because they have those beat up Bibles and they carry them like this. My God, it is nothing about seeing a little old lady. I don't even care what they look like. And I'm not saying little old ladies over there, but I'm just saying about me. When I go out and preach, and at the end of the service, little ladies will come up to me, and their hands are white, and you can't, I mean, and they have their Bibles clutched like this. And when you see it like this, they're not trying to show it to you. That's how they always bring it in there. And that Bible, it has had the snot beat out of it. Can I say snot in here? That Bible has been used so much, the pages are taped in there together, and they got all of you, but talking about bunny ears, the whole thing is swaying back and forth. But I'm saying to you, it's a used item. Now, I know in the new world, digital activity requires a search history. What would that search history look like in your digital Bible? Don't get quiet on me. You don't want to leave me also, do you? Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Look at verse 69. We, Peter says, believe. What else did he say? And have come to know. We believe. We didn't always understand. Do you think those disciples always understood what? No, they didn't. In fact, Jesus said on one occasion, hey, you've been with me this long and you still don't have a clue? He didn't say it like that. I'm paraphrasing. And you still don't know what I'm saying to you? No, but they believed. And you know how I know that they believed? Because he prayed about them in John 17 and said, Father, they are in. They believe you sent me. That's all they had to believe. They were going to get the other stuff. Quickly turn to 1 John chapter 4. As I think about this, turn to 1 John chapter 4 real quick now, else you're all going to miss this. There's a true disciple, believing and coming to know. Believing initiated the relationship. Coming to know him is the discipleship. Are we there? 1 John chapter 4? Did I say 4? 1 John chapter 4, and did I tell you what verse? Hey, I'll get there. Don't get ahead of me. Okay, 1 John chapter 4. Boy, this is ear-wiggling stuff right here. Knocked me out of my seat. Listen, did I tell you 1 John chapter 4? Did I tell you what verse? Okay, we just read in John chapter 4, the authors are the same. He wrote first, he wrote the epistle, and he also wrote the gospel. Oh, this is so wonderful. He just said to Jesus, we believe and have come to know. John has recorded what Peter experienced and the other disciples experienced other than Judas. Look at what the Apostle John says in 1 John chapter 4. Now, Jesus has ascended. He's not even with him anymore. Listen to what he says. This is so wonderful. Did I say 1 John? In chapter 4? Y'all tired of me asking you that? Yep. All right, verse 16. Listen. John says this by the Spirit of God. We have come to know and have believed. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. What is John saying? He says, we have come to know and have believed. In the Gospel of John, he says, we believed and have come to know. Believing initiates that relationship with Christ. Coming to know is the discipleship part of Christ. And John captures it in the epistle of 1 John of saying, hey, now we know. Now we know. You're not going to know God. You're not going to know the Lord Jesus Christ until first ye must believe. And if you believe, you're going to come to know. Somebody say amen if you get that. Do you see the reverse of that at all? Did anybody see that reverse at all? In Gospel of John, he says, we believe and have come to know. In 1 John, he says, we know and have come to believe. Y'all don't understand what I'm turning to. Turn to John 13. I wasn't even going to share this, but I am because y'all are acting silly. John 13, real quick. So we're talking about the believers now. You know the scenario. Jesus is washing feet. He's washing feet. Here's what true disciples, now this is a house full of true disciples other than Judas. Are you there? Let's look at verse 12. Are we there? So when he had washed their feet and taken his garment and reclined at the table again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? And verse 13, you call me teacher and Lord. And just as a little side note here, I love the way that the NIV phrases this because it gets a deeper, richer meaning, even though it's paraphrased. This is more one word, word for word. But listen, he says, you call me teacher and Lord, and you are right. The NIV says, for that is what I am. How many of you will have that? For that is what I am. Yeah. You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right. For that is what I am. They had recognized his title. But look at verse 14. Woo! He just made it intimate. He says, if I then, your Lord, how many of you have that pronoun there, your? If I then, your Lord, and teacher. Do you see the reverse there? Do you see the reverse there? Did somebody just say yes just to appease me? If you don't even say, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. And verse 13, he says, if you call me teacher and Lord, you're right, because that's what I am, but that's not who I am. Yeah, but if you call me Lord and teacher, you gotta make him Lord before he can teach you anything. And we're so busy trying to learn about him, but we won't allow him to be Lord of our lives. And therefore, he can't teach us anything. And Lordship is that place where we're prostrate. We've surrendered. We revere him enough to say, I can't do this on my own anymore. It's you, Lord. It's you, Lord. And so once we get that lordship position in our hearts, just as John was saying, you know, we believe, okay? Can you believe for 40 years and not come to know who he is? Oh, that's a dangerous place. That's a dangerous place. And so I want to encourage you, believe it or not, this is an encouraging message. It should be. My father used to say, bless his heart, the only difference between a major operation and a minor one is the person that's getting it. And so, hopefully this message will be an encouragement. Because here's where my heart is, brothers and sisters. And it's no secret. You can hear this message. You can go online, click on the podcast of messages that have been preached here over the last, I don't know, well, certainly since we've been here, but listen to all of the message. Listen to all the message and hear the scream of the Lord's voice saying, let's be the real deal. Let's be true disciples. True disciples are those who continue in his word. If you make the submission to continue in his word, what you're saying is, I will follow you. I will follow what you say. How many of us who have children able to clean up their rooms? Well, let me finish first. None of those people are here. No. Want your children to understand what you're saying? Or you just want them to do what you tell them? They won't understand until they become adults. Maybe. My oldest daughter, when she was young and I instructed her to go clean up her room, she said to me, I forget now how old she was, Dad, I already know how to do that. I'll use that later when I... Yeah, okay, so what do you do with that? Listen. I am encouraged and proud to be members of this body of Christ here at the King's Chapel. But I submit to you, brothers and sisters, if we're going to be the real deal, and we can be, we've been assigned to be, this has been put here for that. This is not for us just to have nice little music going on, and we can sing some songs and fill up the offering tray and have some, Marty, snacks. I love some of you get confused. You make a meal out of the snacks, and then you make a snack out of the meal. Yeah, did I say that? Anyway, no. We want you to eat all the snacks. I don't care. But we want to be a band of believers. We want the community to talk about us. We want the community to know that we exist. And the way that they're going to know we exist is that we're true disciples going out into the world. Stand to your feet, if you will. Going out into the world, letting them know that Jesus is who he says he is. I said it early on, bow your heads in prayer if you will. I said it early on, even before I started, and I'll say it again. Tis a joyous relationship to be intimately related to Christ. It's a joyous relationship. My encouragement to you this morning is if you're here and you don't know whether you are a true disciple or not, even to raise that question would suggest that you aren't. Then ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart today. If you believe that God sent him, allowed him to be crucified, allowed him to be buried, and then he raised him again, if you believe that, then you are a child of God. Now, one of the things that I recognize in believing that in the scriptures, when he would open blind eyes, I remember one blind man saying, Lord, tell me who he is that I might worship him. And in receiving Christ, not many were touched by him that the whole world around them didn't know it. They were not ashamed to proclaim his name. So if you've accepted Jesus Christ today, before you walk out this door, tell somebody. My wife and I are going to be in the back, and we're going to pray with whomsoever will come. But let me encourage us in prayer just ahead of that. Father God, we do thank you for your word. And I ask now, Lord God, for those who have made an earnest desire to invite you into their hearts. They want to become followers, disciples of yours. Father, we thank you that you sealed that by the Holy Spirit. And Father, you have others here who are true disciples, Lord, and they're in that place, Lord, that seems like a wilderness. And Lord, I pray that you would breathe a fresh breath upon them this morning, Lord God. Fill them with a boldness of encouragement and affirmation and assurance. Steer their lives, Lord God. Father, let the balm of fellowship break out in this place. that it brings glory unto your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.